G'day folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome, thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me as we continue on our series in the book of Luke. Now we are just going to pick up straight from where we left off last time, Luke chapter 9, reading from verse 10. Grab your Bible, read along with me if you would. And just a quick catch up, if it's been a while since you watched the last video, the disciples have just returned from their, you know, I guess we can call it a missionary journey. Jesus sent them out with power and authority and performing great miracles along the way. And here, verse 10, and the apostles then, when they returned, told him, that's Jesus, all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. I guess he's probably just wanting to like debrief. Let's talk about it. Let's see what happened. But when the multitudes, verse 11, knew of it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them, of course, about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. So what we see here in these couple of verses, Jesus and the apostles are looking to just go aside, you know, going on a retreat, going on a camp, a weekend away, we might say in modern terms, just going to catch up on their missionary journeys. I mean, can you imagine the stories, the things which they have seen, demons cast out, healing, provision, people turning their hearts back to God. Can you imagine it? And they coming together to go to this place privately and discuss all of this. And I think this area, it's up in the sort of northeastern Sea of Galilee. This is not far from the birthplace of Peter, Andrew, Philip also. So this is all familiar territory, but familiar also to the people around. And they hear of it. And hey, if I was one of them, hey, did you hear Jesus is nearby? Let's go. Let's go see. I want to hear of this man. I want to see if the stories that I've heard. Imagine the stories that they've heard with the 12 going out also. I want to see if the stories that I've heard, if they're true. I want to hear him speak. I want to see it happen for myself. Or maybe I've got a need. I've got this constant pain. It never stops. It never stops. It never goes away. I need him. Whatever the need, they go and the multitudes go. They start together. They gather. And what does Jesus do? Well, he's on a retreat. He's on a camp. He's going away with the family, so to speak. What does he do? He just says, hey, look, come back on Monday. No. Oh, no, he receives them. He receives them. He meets their needs. It says he spoke to them about the kingdom of God and he healed those who had need of healing. And I want to just quickly speak to this yet again, because I think we have need of hearing again. Primary mission, the kingdom of God, the coming of God's promised kingdom. This is the call to repent. This is the call to believe on the cross of Calvary that Christ died for our sins, for us now. That's not what they were preaching then, of course, but for us now. This is what we preach, the coming kingdom, Jesus returning as King over everything. The cross of Calvary, his blood shed for the forgiveness and remission of sins because of our faith and the fact that he died. And he was dead and he was buried for 3 days and then he rose from the dead. That is our faith. And it is on such that then we find salvation. This is the message which we teach. This is the message which we preach. This is the primary message. And I get emotional about this. I get, you know, revved up about this. Because I see so many Christians sidestepping to unnecessary things, arguing with other brothers in Christ. Oh, but I'm right. Oh, no, 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 this and that, and going down these weird and wonderful ways, and they forget the mission. Guys, this is the primary mission. He spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And then we see an element of how this is leveled up. And healed those who had need of healing. And these miracles, guys, these were miracles that a sign that the King was present with them and restoring what sin had broken in them. Of course, the people of the time, they didn't yet understand this. They're under Roman rule, they're oppressed. They're hoping, and we see this from questions and example in Scripture, they're hoping that you know, God is now going to restore the kingdom to Israel like it was under King David. They don't understand these things. And so in that, we also can learn and remember that not all kingdom promises has yet been fulfilled. Some are yet still to come. Remember, I often say the kingdom of God, what is it? It's both now, but also not yet. But then we come to this dilemma, this thing, this problem. Chapter 9, verse 12. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, Lord, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge there and get provisions. We're in a deserted place. There's nowhere here for them. Verse 13, but he, Jesus, says to them, No, I'm just being a bit poetic here with my creative license in the words. He says, no, you give them something to eat. And they, the apostles, well, they look around, they find a boy, we read from the parallel gospels. They got no more than 5 loaves, they say, and 2 fish. And unless we go to buy food for all these people, because it says there's about 5,000 men, verse 14, plus I can imagine women and children too. And then Jesus. Oh, I love this. No fear, no panic, just faith in Father. He says to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And so they did. That's it. Just make them go sit down in groups of 50. And they went and made them all sit down. So we begin here, this little section here, with the disciples going, hey, send them away. They need to go and get food. They need to find somewhere to sleep. Understandable. I mean, there's no other option. There's no shop, certainly not like what we have at this point of time. And in their heads, they're on a break. They're having sort of time out. I know they would have cared for the people, but I can imagine also perhaps they're just a little bit jealous. We want time with the Lord. I can imagine that too. And Jesus says to them, you give them something to eat. What? Lord? What? And I want to just pause here for a moment and maybe give you some food. Well, food for thought. Can I say it that way? I'm just speaking out here. I'm just speaking this out and hopefully it'll come together. I want to talk about just modern society, something for you to wrestle with, pray about, consider. And this, I guess, also comes from some people that I know, not Christians, in the Lord, not in the Lord. And their job is just to, you know, to entertain. The whole, everything that they have is geared around just entertaining. I think that's even the world system. Entertainment. Let's just keep the people happy. We've heard it said also about the Roman emperors. If I can just entertain the people, they won't care about the problems. The entertainer simply gives food for the day, for the night, for the moment, but doesn't fill the need. This is the entertainer. This is the world system. You know, the atheist. And I know someone like this, an unbeliever who seems set on their ways to unconvert believers, if I can. Spends the time trying to convince men that they don't even need food. Trying to just convince men that they're not even hungry at all. This is the atheist looking now at spiritual things. And I want to give you a warning to watch out for people like that in your life. Watch out at work. Watch out if you need to at home. Watch out what you're watching on the screen. What's on the screen that your children can hear also. Even watch out in what you hear said in church. Because believe it or not, it's a disquieting thought. Some people find it difficult that you now have this hunger for the word. Others are like, hallelujah, praise God, how good is this, brother? Tell me about it. But some will, it'll make them feel uncomfortable because it exposes the emptiness and the lack of hunger within themselves. And they might just make little sort of side comments. I've seen it. I've seen it toward others. It's very discouraging. So we have to be careful to listen and how we speak also. To listen to what the world is saying and those shaped by the world, but to only speak what God is saying and how we are now being shaped by the word. Are you with me on that? It's one of those things, to encourage rather than discourage. Please be careful in what you do. Just take a note. And I think of John chapter 6, do not labor for the food which perishes, but rather for the food which is for everlasting, which the Son of Man, Jesus said, speaking of himself, will give to you, because God the Father set his seal on him. This is the food that we must labor for. Remember when Satan was tempting Jesus with the food? He quoted from Luke, this is in Luke 4, sorry, and he quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 3. Satan says, hey, you can make bread from these stones. Help yourself. Jesus says, it is written, what? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And who or what is the bread of life? What is this? Well, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Now, speaking, of course, of spiritual things, John chapter 6. And here he speaks of both the spiritual and also speaks into the physical. So he's been preaching the kingdom. And now it says in verse 16 that he took the 5 loaves. He took the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he blessed them. He broke them. He gave them then to the disciples to set up before the multitude. And so, verse 17, they all, underline all in your Bible, they all ate and were filled, and there were 12 baskets of leftovers, and the fragments were taken up by then. Amen. Can you imagine that? I guess maybe in the crowd, they didn't even know where they came from, but the disciples, they did. Verse 16 says, Jesus took what they had. Took what the disciples had. They brought him the fish. They brought him the loaves. 5 loaves, couple of fish. Humanly speaking, not even possible. Nowhere near enough. But the important thing, it wasn't how much they had. It was whose hands they placed it into. That was the important thing. And Jesus then blessed it. He broke it. He gave it back to the disciples to distribute. They didn't produce the miracle. He did. They gave to him. He produced the miracle. They simply then took what Jesus had done and passed it on. Yes. And there's a lesson there for us. Simply put, this is not rocket science, guys, but understand this. We don't need to be the source. He is. Jesus is the source. We simply need to faithfully use what he has given us and what he has placed into our hands. And then verse 17 says, they all ate, they were filled. Not some, all. And it wasn't not just enough to keep them going. They were filled. This wasn't the bare minimum. Because then even when they were finished, there was so much left over. They were filled and there was so much left over. 12 baskets. Now, Luke doesn't actually tell us anything about the 12 basket. He doesn't give it any symbolic meaning. So I think we shouldn't try and force that into the text. I've heard that before, just a side note. But at the very least, there could be no doubt, absolutely no doubt afterwards, Jesus had provided more than enough for the need for them. More than enough. He is our God. More than enough. Sometimes we just need to look into our hands and think, Lord, if it's not enough, but when we do that, we're looking at our ability. We're looking at our strength, not enough ability, not enough strength, not enough time, not enough resources. And so when we look, we need to remember that we are not enough. Let's be honest, we are not enough. He is. Because our confidence shouldn't be in us, it should be in him. The disciples, I look here, they couldn't feed the multitude, but Jesus could. So let me wrap up with this. Whatever he has given to you, whatever he's placed before you, don't begin by asking, am I enough for this? Bring what you have that he has given to you. Bring what you have to Christ. Listen to what he says. And then faithfully do the part that he gives you to do. Our insufficiency, it doesn't limit his sufficiency. Perhaps I think that's a good place for us to finish up, yeah? All right, folks, God bless. We'll pick it up next time. Bye-bye.